The Lord Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Now, the last time we gathered for the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we looked at the phrase from Jesus that says that being a peacemaker is in that state of blessedness. And in that sermon, we learned a difference. We learned the difference between what I called peacekeeping and peacemaking. Peacekeeping is something that is much less difficult than peacemaker. We learned that peacemaking must be rooted in a biblical definition of peace, and that as it's rooted in that biblical definition of peace, it is something much different than peacekeeping. Peacemaking is active, and it requires you as a believer to seek out peace and to seek out reconciliation that the gospel requires of you. We discussed several ways that peacemaking is hindered. We talked about pride. We talked about the love of self. We talked about a spirit of judgment, or a judgmental spirit. And we talked about the receiving of false reports, all things that hinder peacemaking in the life of the believer. And then we ended with some encouragements towards peacemaking. Now this morning, what I would like to do is to look at this benefit that the Lord Jesus attaches to peacemaking. Remember, beatitude is a religious term that comes from the Latin, and it essentially means happiness. So happy is the peacemaker. When you're a maker of peace, you receive this spiritual happiness. And yet there's a benefit that flows from that activity called peacemaking. And the benefit that flows from it is that the Lord Jesus Christ says you will be called a child of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now, when we see that phrase, shall be called children of God, what we generally do is we go to that understanding of what it means to be a child of God, and we put that in a category that we would call salvation. We would say that being called a child of God is related to your adoption, which flows from your justification, right? You would say this is related to salvation, to be called a child of God. But what I want you to note is that this is not peacemaking that leads to being made right with God. And that needs to be understood. We're not saying that if you participate in this activity that we call peacemaking, that will result in your salvation and being called a child of God. Now, do you understand why that's important to establish that right away? We want to establish that right away because the Lord Jesus here is not teaching works righteousness. He is not teaching that if you do peacemaking, that you will then be declared one who is saved or a child of God or receive what we call adoption. What Jesus is doing here is something different. This being called a son or a daughter of God is not related to your salvation. It is related to your growth as a Christian. It is related to what we would call your sanctification. It's not related to your justification. And that's important to have right in your mind as we begin, because I don't want you to go into this week thinking, Pastor Nathan taught me that if I do A, B, C, and D, that God will save me. That's not what Pastor Nathan has said or ever has said. What I'm saying is that as Jesus says, the state of peacemaking is blessed and it will result in something where you're called a child of God, that's not related to your justification. It is related to your growth as a Christian, which we could call your sanctification. So how are you called children of God? This morning I want to give you four ways that you're called a child of God as you prepare to come to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And the first way that we see you being called a child of God is in your naming. In your naming. I want you to notice that Jesus says, you will be called a child of God, or called the children of God. That word called is naming. Now, who names you as children of God? Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Who does that? Well, first and foremost, it is God who calls you a child of God. And that is done out of your sonship. You are recognized by your heavenly Father in this calling. I want you to notice that the phrase will be called is passive, isn't it? This is not something that you do. You know, you don't walk around saying, I shall be called so-and-so. This is passive. You are being called by somebody else. It is somebody else who is doing the calling. And here, it is God, first and foremost, that recognizes you in peacemaking as being a child of God. When you live out your adoption as a son or a daughter of God, when you're living out that adoption, when you're living out that salvation, one of the things that will result in you living out your salvation is that you will participate in peacemaking. And God looks down and he says, son, daughter. See, when a child is adopted, that is a legal act. And that legal act of adopting is how somebody becomes adopted, how they become a son or a daughter. But it's not right away that a son or a daughter begins to reflect the culture of the home and the family. That comes with time. So think about this for a moment. If, for example, if you were to adopt, say, a 12-year-old boy, you go to the judge signs some papers, stamp, legal declaration, name change. All of that happens in a courtroom. It's a legal decision that's made. And that 12-year-old boy would come home with you. And you'd say, you are my son. I've adopted you. You are my son. But that 12-year-old boy has 12 years worth of, could we say, baggage? And as he comes into the home, there's a time of transition. There's change that needs to happen. This legally adopted son would take time to begin to reflect what the expectations and the boundaries and the norms of the family would be. And this is true in the family of God as well. God adopts us, and that's connected to our justification. You are legally declared a son or a daughter. But that doesn't mean that right away you begin to reflect the so-called family values or family expectations or family norms. the work of sanctification begins, and you begin to be conformed to the image of Christ, and you begin to reflect that in your life. And congregation, as you walk in peacemaking, you reflect the family of God. It's as if here God is looking down on you as you act out, or as you live out that act of peacemaking. And it's God saying, this is my child. That's a child of God. I recognize that one. And that naming happens not only by God, but that naming begins to happen with other people as well, doesn't it? Other people look on you and they'll say, that one, that act of peacemaking, that shows that this one is a child of God. I recognize that. A few weeks ago, my family and I went to a wedding in Malibu. And at that wedding, it was a wedding for a guy that I went to high school with, and I haven't seen him in 20 years. I knew his family, and I hadn't seen his siblings or his father in 20 years. And when we got to that wedding, and I'm looking around at family members at this wedding, I could begin to say which sibling certain children belong to. You just knew. I hadn't seen the family in 20 years, never seen any of these kids in my life. And I could go up to a kid and I could say, hey, you're Mike's son, right? Yeah. How'd you know that? Look like your dad. The reason that we're able to say that is because families share characteristics, don't they? And that's true as well with the children of God. The children of God begin to share characteristics with God. And that's how that phrase son of is sometimes used in the Bible. You can go to a concordance and you can either, if you have a paper concordance, you can look it up, or you can type in son of, and you can see all the different ways that that is used in the scriptures. And you see that part of the way that that's used is this idea of just sharing characteristics. That's in that naming. Kings are called sons of God because they rule as God rules. People who live wickedly are called sons of the devil. Not because the devil is their genetic father, but because they're acting in such a way that reflects evil. So to be a son of, in the Word of God, can be an idiom for sharing characteristics of, or sharing the status of another. And that's in that naming. You are a child of God as you reflect His characteristics. Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. We see another way that peacemakers here are called the sons of God. And that's going to be our second heading. We'll call this, you are a son or a child of God in your desires. In your desires. If you reflect the character of God and you're doing the work of God in peacemaking, you're going to have a heart or a desire to begin living that out in your Christian life. You will have a heart that grieves over sin. God is holy. And in the holiness of God, He grieves over sin. God hates sin, the scripture tells us, and cannot have sin to go unresolved. Now, how does God resolve sin? We know He resolves sin through punishment. He damns those that go unreconciled with Him. and all of those that will put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, do they get a free pass? No, he punishes Jesus, doesn't he? The sin of those that trust in Christ is placed on, we use the term imputed to Christ's account. So God, in his peacemaking, has a desire that hates sin, and it requires punishment, either eternal punishment or punishment in Christ. Now you might think, well, Pastor Nathan, are you challenging us to punish sin? How's that consistent with peacemaking? And I want you to know that's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is that at the cross, sinners were reconciled to God. At the cross, God made peace between man and God. That hatred for sin led to God making peace. That's what Ephesians 2 says. But now in Christ Jesus, that's verse 13, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. So the desire of God, that desire from his heart, so to speak, that said, I hate sin, what it led to was peacemaking on behalf of God. Out of his holiness, he grieved for sin, and God became a peacemaker. And friends, this ought to be your desire as well. You ought to grieve for sin. First and foremost, your own sin, the ways that you have sinned against God. But you also ought to grieve concerning the sin of others, especially those that you may have an ability to do something about, those that are the closest to you, that you could talk to them and seek to have peace made. You can ask yourself, from this grieving for sin, can I be a peacemaker? And from that, God says you are called a child of God. And this is true not only in that hatred for sin and that desire, but in that desire we also see a desire to see conflict resolved. Do you see areas where brothers and sisters need to be reconciled? Are those in your home needing to make things right with one another? Think of husbands and wives. Do you see a need for reconciliation, for conflict to end? Or you could think of siblings or other family members. Is there conflict that grieves you? Is there conflict that grieves you in the church or in your community or in the home? And here's your encouragement. Be called a child of God. And how is that pronouncement made upon you? Well, Jesus says you walk in the happiness called peacemaking. Conflict is antithetical to peace. Make peace. Reconcile. There might be some here that need to make peace now. Even as the table's set before you, if you need to leave this room and go reconcile and go make peace, do that. I'm not going to hold that against you. I'm going to say, thanks be to God. Be reconciled. Be a peacemaker. Show that mercy. Because from God's mercy comes the reconciling of sinners. And from your mercy, that that is a gift that God gives you comes that desire to see peacemaking in the lives of those that are estranged or those that are in need of reconciliation. So desires. We're called children of God in our naming. We're called children of God in our desires. And thirdly, be called a child of God in your relationships. In your relationships. Now we want to start relationship desire or relationship being called a peacemaker in relationships. We want to start that with God Himself. A child of God wants to be in the presence of God. And this is where your strength comes from. A child of God wants to be in the presence of God because there in the presence of God is where you are changed. That gives you the strength to be a peacemaker. Think about children especially when they're really young. Fathers and mothers come home after being away. Maybe they're at work, long day at work, and they come home. And children, little children especially, love to greet their parents. They give hugs and they've missed them and they want to be in their presence. Children love to be in the presence of their parents. It's comfort, it's strength, it's joy. Friends, if you are a child of God, the presence of God will be similar. You will not be a peacemaker. You will not do that work of seeking reconciliation if you're not in the presence of God. If the presence of God is something that you avoid, you will not make peace. And if you refuse to make peace, the first place that I would challenge you is whether you are failing in being in the presence of God. You need to be in the presence of God in your private worship, in your reading of scriptures, in your meditating on the text, in your prayers, in your reflecting on the Word of God. There you're in the presence of God and you are being strengthened. Strengthened for the Christian life. Strengthened for the peacemaking that Jesus calls you to. Sons and daughters love the presence of God. But there's more than just being in the presence of God in private worship. We could think of family worship as well. Do you come into the presence of God with those in your household? You might say, well, Pastor Nathan, I'm single or I'm not married. I don't have a family that I'm living with. I would encourage you to continue to be in the presence of God, to have time where you're privately in the presence of God, but a time that would be more open, whether you had friends over or visitors or your parents come visit you. And those with families, are you praying with your children? Are you reading the scriptures as you sit down to meals? Are you singing with your family at appropriate times? Family worship is coming into the presence of God as a family. And it strengthens you towards peacemaking. This family worship strengthens you to be a peacemaker, to be sensitive to the presence of God and sensitive to that work that Jesus calls peacemaking. And as that happens, as you're in the presence of God and God's looking down upon you in that desire and that action called peacemaking, the declaration is what? You're children of God. But that presence of God occurs also in public worship. doesn't it? On the Sabbath day, the children of God gather together for something of a family reunion. Peacemaking occurs best in the church when the people of God are worshiping with one another and having fellowship with one another. You see, conflict causes parties to distance themselves, to refuse to talk, to keep others at arm's length. But being a child of God and living that out in your relationships, it's as if you're saying, I want to be a child of God. I want to be a peacemaker so I can hear that pronouncement upon me. You are children of God. Congregation, work that out in your relationships. If you have conflicts with one another, and I don't know of any, so I'm not underhandedly telling you something that you know I know. I don't know of any conflicts in our church right now. I know other churches, but none in our congregation right now. But if you have a conflict with a brother or sister, work that out. Be a child of God. Show the world around you that you are children of God. And this is true also as you interact with those outside of the family of God, outside of those that are under that pronouncement of children of God. Maybe just think about your own family and how there's special things that you do that other families don't do. You know, something that you really enjoy. Maybe you could think back on Thanksgiving a couple days ago and you could say, you know, I love when our family's together, we do this. Maybe it's a special game that you play. Maybe it's some silly songs that you sing. Maybe it's something else, like some families put on skits and those sorts of things. And if you have those things and you realize that other families don't have them, you might think to yourself, you know, I really wish they would be able to experience how much fun this is. Or you say to your friends, you know, my family does this thing, and you describe it and they kind of look at you like, so? Like, it's, who cares? But you have all this great joy because you want others to experience that as well. Do you feel that way for those not in Christ, not in the church? Do you feel that way think, you know, I would love for you to experience the love of God in the same way. I would love for you to realize the joy of singing songs that are 3,000 years old. I would love for you to be able to spend time with the people of God and just realize what a wonderful thing that is. Do you pity those that are not children of God? Then seek to be a peacemaker between man and man, and first and foremost, a peacemaker between man and God. So you may be able to hear those words. You are children of God. So in your naming, in your desires, in your relationships, and fourthly and lastly, we see that you will be called a child of God in your labors. In your labors. Notice again that the benefit in this verse is passive. You will be called children of God. But in the beatitude itself, happy or blessed are the peacemakers. That is active. Making is an active verb. The benefit is passing. You're going to be called something. But to get there is active. Blessed are the peacemakers. You are called here in Christ to labor and to work, to work towards peacemaking. I've given several categories, several ways that peacemaking may occur. But you are to be active in this. You might be thinking to yourself, Pastor Nathan, my personality is not fit for this. I'm not confrontational. I avoid conflict at all costs. I do not rock the boat. I do not want to bring up things that are uncomfortable to people. And peacemaking at times requires all of that, doesn't it? It requires us to be uncomfortable. It requires at times for the boat to be rocked. It requires at times being confrontational and opening up wounds. And that's hard. But I want to say a couple of things to you. The first is that if your response is, I don't like rocking the boat, I don't like confrontation, this is what I have to say. If you like confrontation, and if you like rocking the boat, then you may have a flaw in your character. It's not normal to say, you know, I love conflict. I just can't wait to cause conflict and to be in the midst of drama. That's not normal. That is a character flaw. So when Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, and your first response is, well, this is super uncomfortable because this is outside of who I am. Great. Because if you are someone who likes trouble and drama and conflict, that's a different story. We should talk about that. But the normal human does not like those things. But Jesus still says, be a peacemaker. And the other thing I want you to remember concerning this is that Jesus said that his burden is light. You will find spiritual happiness in peacemaking. Even if you doubt this is true, Jesus says, happy will you be. In your labors, be called a child of God. And that begins with understanding that Jesus Christ is the great peacemaker. This is God's business in the world. God governs by his providence, and he reconciles the world unto himself through Christ. This is one of God's big things that he's invested in. Is peacemaking, reconciling men and women, boys and girls to himself. God is the peacemaker. So you can go forth in that strength and go forth in that encouragement. Because behind your labors, if you're going to go forth to make peace, whether that's in talking to somebody that doesn't know Christ, or whether that is a known conflict in your home, or a conflict at work that you want to help out with, or whether that's brothers and sisters in the church that are having difficulty and you want to be invested in that, you can go forth in the strength and the encouragement that says, behind your labors is your Father. Have you ever been to a school science fair? At a school science fair, it is pretty easy to guess the projects that have been made completely by the children and the ones that have been governed by the parents. You know, you can go up to a science fair project and you can say, oh, the effects of global warming. You look at it, it's construction paper with macaroni glued to it. Okay, there's the effects of global warming. And you go up to another science fair project and you look at it and you see that it's obvious that the parent has guided and governed this whole project. It's got, you know, maybe backlighting and professional grade photographs and just the whole thing. You know, it's got moving parts and You just look at these two and you're like, these are both second graders. It's obvious which one is actually done by the child and which one has the parents directing from behind. Now, why am I telling you that? I'm telling you that because the work of God is that He is the great peacemaker. And when He calls you to go forth in faith as a peacemaker, God is behind you governing the whole way. You may think that your work of being a peacemaker is going to look like macaroni stuck on construction paper. But your Father is behind you. That project of peacemaking is going to have the backlighting, and it's going to have the professional photographs, and it's going to be top professional grade because God is behind you in that work. He is the great peacemaker. So where should you do this so that you may be called a child of God? Well, I think that the first place or the best place to begin with this is in your evangelism. In your evangelism, you are participating in the work called peacemaking. You are aiding in the making of peace between God and fallen humanity. For those of you that are members of the RPCNA, one of your membership vows is that you will seek to win others to Him. And personally, even as a pastor, sometimes I find that really the difficult vow. And when I have membership classes, I talk about that. And I say, you know, this isn't saying that you're going to go do street preaching, but you might. It's not saying that, you know, you're going to pass out tracts every time you're in public, but you might. The way that you will seek to be a peacemaker in regard to evangelism, it may differ on a whole variety of fronts. It may be that you love street preaching. It may be that you love passing out tracts, but it also might be that you invite your neighbors over for dinner and you provide them with a good meal and you share the gospel with them. But it might also be that you're talking with coworkers and they're mentioning some conflict they have in their life or conflict in their marriage, and you bring biblical principles into that conflict so that you can present Christ. There's various ways that you seek to win others to Him, but you can be a peacemaker in your evangelism and you can be called a child of God. Being a child of God through peacemaking is also something that you are called to do in your personal repentance, and on the other side of that coin, in your personal forgiveness. You may have been sinned against. Be a child of God. Make peace. Seek to make peace with the one who has sinned against you. You might say, well, Pastor Nathan, does that mean there's no longer consequences? No, that's not what it means at all. Forgiving somebody doesn't mean that there are no consequences. Be a child of God in your forgiveness. Be a child of God in your repentance. You have something for which you must repent. Be a child of God. Have you sinned against a brother or a sister? Be a child of God, whether that's a sin of omission or commission. You know those phrases. Something that we ought to have done and we didn't do, and something we ought not to have done and we did. Repent of those things. Be made right with those around you. Be a peacemaker. Be declared a child of God. Refusal to repent of sin, even when others have sinned against you, that is not being a child of God. Be a peacemaker. And this is true, of course, in your reconciliation. Labor for reconciliation. Whether that's you coming alongside of other parties, or whether that's you being reconciled with somebody that you have offended or that is offended with you. Reconciliation is at the heart of peacemaking. And through that reconciliation of Jesus Christ, you may be called a son or a daughter laboring in the work of reconciliation. Be called a child of God. Congregation, as you come to this table, may you be strengthened in your walk. May you be strengthened and given much grace. And for all of those who are in Christ, may you find great happiness. Blessedness, Jesus calls it. In your peacemaking. As you live under this pronouncement of Christ, you are children of God. Amen.